Reminiscent worship is what I'm thinking about as we were singing the older hymns. But I was also thinking about the contrast between the youth up here singing that aren't used to that, singing the old songs, and did a good job. So thank you. Yeah, that's right. So, and I was watching not only your lips move, but I was listening to hear if I could identify your voice to your lips. But that is a reminiscent. I always go back to, you know, growing up and the years that I did go to church as a teenager, and that type of worship genre has its own style and its own focus. But there's meat in that, and there is. Whenever our hearts are seeking the Lord's face, there's always worship. So, but there was God's grace just singing through the youth, and that was great. So, and Steve, of course. He's huge. Yeah, that's right. Anyways, let's just begin with opening up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one here. Father, I pray for those that are on the road this three-day weekend, and I ask, Father, please, that you will bless them as well. And I just ask, Father, please, that you will speak to our hearts, and I pray, Father, please, that each one of us will walk away today saying, you know, God really spoke to me. And I pray, Father, please, that that we will hear you speak to us, each one of us, as you intend for us to hear the things you want us to know. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to share a little bit of a personal testimony to begin this message off. That personal testimony being, some of you have heard this, so the redundancy of this, just kind of flow with it, okay, on a personal level. But as far as in front of the church or whatever, many of you probably don't. Every year, when I first came here, my very first year coming here to this church, I remember riding in the bus from Placerville to Sacramento because I had given my notice there, still commuting by bus to my job in Sacramento. And I had, after I had accepted the call here to this church, I had your directory with all the photos in it, and I was reading over all the different families and things like that, and trying to get to know faces and names and praying and that type of thing. And after I had gone through that of praying for the church family and trying to get geared up for focus, you know, for this new church family, I said, God, what do you want this year for the church? Well, I mean, what's my assignment? What do you want? So the first year that we came, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to do two things. They were two prominent things. One, I want you to fix up the facilities. Two, I want you to encourage missions. And so we started focusing on that in a greater way. Now, we were focused on missions through offerings, but as far as actively being involved in missions and planning, those types of things. So that was what God was telling me to do, because he had told me, he said, you know, I want people to know that even though you're a small church in a small community out in the middle of the boondocks, so to speak, doesn't mean that God can't use you to affect people across the world, around the world, from this body of believers right here. So that was an assignment. Well, each year in October, I look for my next year's assignment. And so usually in October, end of October, beginning of November, somewhere around there, I pretty well already know what God's assignment is for the following calendar year. Well, this year was a different story. October came around, nothing. Of course, I know it doesn't surprise you that there was nothing going on up here, but amen. Thanks, amen. So, you know, but the Lord just had not given me any direction. And so I continued to pray, And I'll be honest with you, I was a little anxious. I said, Lord, this is the first time in 10 years that you have not given me direction, an assignment. What's the task at hand for this next year? And I kept praying and praying. It wasn't until January that God started filling my list. And boy, it's full. But that's affirming. It's affirming. In the middle of that, then you start to wonder, as a pastor, in all frankness, you wonder, if you're not giving me an assignment, am I supposed to be here? You know, because that's how God works. You know, you don't give something and you move on type thing, generally speaking. And all I got when I was going praying and talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, wait. All I got from him, just wait. Great. I don't want to wait. I want to know now. Wait. And then as I was reading scripture and getting encouraged through scripture that there's really a benefit in waiting on God. There's an opportunity for us to see God work if we choose to wait by faith on him. But the waiting is treacherous sometimes, isn't it? And yet God filled my list for the agenda of this year, and I thank him for it. So the title of this message is Don't Give Up. And sometimes you might be in a situation, or I might be in a situation where we're seeking God's face, seeking God's direction, trying to understand his will, wanting to be in his will, keeping our heart right with God, but it just doesn't seem like we're getting the answers from God that we desire. And I'm not meaning that desire as this is what I want you to tell me, Lord, but the fact that we want to hear from God and we're, you know, all of a sudden we're not getting any type of communication. I think that's one of the frustrating places in prayer time when you go to God earnestly and you don't hear him responding back. You don't sense his stirring in your heart. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody understand that? Do you know what I'm saying? Where, okay, I've laid it out before you. I'm talking to you. I want some answers. And it just seems like it's hitting marble walls. But we need to be assured that God does hear our prayers. And again, I think God has said in those times to wait on him. So the first thing is just don't give up. And we're to wait upon the Lord. And I found something in the book of Habakkuk. You know, we spend a lot of time in Habakkuk, don't we? But if you want, turn your Bibles to Habakkuk or follow the board there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. There it is. And it's right after Nahum. Okay. Anyway, so here we have Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Now the revelation, let's look at that first part there, the revelation. That's a revealing or a vision or an insight from God. So when, like it, just like I was saying, Lord, what's my assignment this year? Or you might go to God and say, God, do you want me to keep this job? Or do you want me to stay here? Or do you want me to do this? Or do you want me to be involved in this ministry or that ministry? Whatever the case at hand is, you're seeking God to reveal this to you. And so the revelation that we're looking for awaits an appointed time. That means that we need to be assured that God will give us the answer at the appropriate time, the appointed time. There's something assuring about that in itself, because God's not saying, I'm not going to answer you. God's saying that you need to wait on me, and when I'm ready, I'll answer you. Now, I can relate to that, you know, as a parent or even as a child growing up. You know, maybe my parents, you know, have asked them a question. They have to talk about it or think about it, and before they get back and talk to me about what they want to do, what the answer is. That's very simplistic. God doesn't have to talk to anybody to get an answer. But God has his reasoning, and he has his planning for us as far as what he wants to tell us and how he wants to lead us. But the other thing is, I think that we are challenged when God doesn't answer our prayers right away to either be faithful to continue to lay those prayers down before him, or to throw our hands up and say, I'm tired of praying about it. And then just kind of take our eyes off of him. And the danger to that is we take our eyes off the Lord, then we're not going to get the answers that we want necessarily, because we're not looking for him. He might answer us, but we miss it. So we need to keep focused on him. So again, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. In other words, it will come. It won't be undependable. It won't be a lie. It won't be deceptive, but it'll be clear. It'll be obvious. God will let you know. Have you ever sensed that you try to put words in God's mouth sometime when you want an answer? Well, you're not answering, so maybe you're saying this or that or that. But when God really does speak to our heart, and our heart is genuine with God, and we're seeking Him, and we're laying it down before the throne continuously, then when God is ready, He'll speak to us. And when God speaks, it'll be plain to us. We will know what He's saying if we're looking, if we're looking. And so we can be assured that what God tells us is true. And that's what it means by will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, and it will certainly come. And here's the killer. I say that loosely. And will not delay. Well, that's a subjective statement as far as I'm concerned. But as far as God's concerned, there's no delay. You wait on the Lord, He hasn't delayed anything. It's just not time to answer us yet for that particular issue. But keeping focused and waiting on God. I in studying this, in the looking it up, the Hebrew words, and the first one, the word awaits in the first part of that verse, it actually means like panting after or fanning a flame. You know, you see these guys in there, I say guys or anybody, you know, these naturalists that are out there learning to live off the land, you know, they get their moss and they get their leaves and they get their flint or their rock and they do this and they rub the stick and they get on their knees and they blow on it and they rub the stick some more and, you know, eventually, all right, good. That's the type of focus we should have when we're waiting on the Lord. It's not like, oh, well, forget it, it'll happen if it happens. No, it's we should be so intently focused on God, like starting that fire, starting to, you know, fan the flame, so to speak, or like someone who's dying of thirst and can't wait to get to have some water, panting for something to drink, or gasping for air. So the intention of our prayer before God should be intense. It should be focused. It should be clear that we're, okay, you said wait, I'm gonna wait, but I'm gonna keep focused and I'm gonna keep praying and I'm gonna keep laying my concerns before you and I'm gonna keep seeking you until I get an answer from you. You see? And that's important for us when we pray. The other word wait meant to, when it says wait for it, though it linger, wait for it. That word wait in the Hebrew means to adhere to. Adhere to. In other words, cling to your request, cling to the Lord, and then wait with expectation that it will come in the appropriate time because God will not delay your answer by His standard, not by ours. I prayed for, I was married at 26, and I prayed for years and years and years, out of my whole list, what I wanted in a wife. It's kind of funny. I wish I still had that list. I might in the hope box. I don't know. But prayed and prayed and prayed. I said, man, Lord, I'm 26. Am I ever going to get married? You know, this type of thing. So when time came, He didn't delay. Met my wife. 3 weeks later, we were married. And 5 months later, we were engaged. And 5 months later, we were married. And we knew that God told us to do that. Wait, wait, wait. I'm not delaying. I'm just making sure that the answer comes at the right time. See? And so we're still married and happy today. We are happy. We all understand what marriage is like. And so we have a great relationship. So wait on the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Hebrews 10:35. Look at that passage in Hebrews 10:35. through 38. And it says here, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You're praying to God. You're seeking answers. You need to know. It's building up a little anxiety. You diffuse the anxiety by going to the Lord in prayer and talking it out and depending upon Him and that comfort of the Holy Spirit. But still, again, do not throw away your confidence, confidence in God. It will be richly rewarded. That persistence, keeping to fanning the flame, right? All right. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. That righteous one living by faith is counted as you and I. In other words, God is saying this. He's saying, keep confident in me and the Lord. You will be richly rewarded. You should and should persevere in your faith, so that when you have done what you know God has told you to do, okay, that God will count you as one of his righteous ones. Now, we're made righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible calls us saints. But you and I know that, you know, we see our sinful nature all the time. But to walk in step with Jesus in his spirit is to be counted as one who walks in righteousness, who's following after God. So he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, did you ever do this when you were a kid? Forgive me, ladies, but good old slug comes along. Get the salt out of the kitchen. It's so fun to watch them curl up, you know? And you just, you know, have fun. You watch them shrink back. Sorry. But we're not called to shrink back from God, are we? We're not called to shrink back from our faith. We're not called to shrink back from our focus on God, our confidence in God, our trust in God. And so we'll be counted as those that does not shrink back. But again, I'm going to read this one more time. He who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Ask this question. Do you want to be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord? Of course we do. Then don't shrink back from your faith and your confidence on God. Keep persistent and keeping focused on him. Keep that prayer life in place. And if you don't have a prayer life, get one. Because that's your relationship with Jesus. You can study the word and you can gain in knowledge, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus through prayer, your relationship is very, very hindered. So get one. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why is it that in that verse that we've heard before and that some of us have on plaques in our house or whatever the case might be, that the result of hoping in the Lord, waiting in the Lord, relying on his timing and not our own, knowing that he has all things in control, that the end product is that we will run and we won't be weary. We will walk and we won't be faint. We will be geared up. Why is that? Because as we keep our heart focused on God, doing what he wants us to do, when God speaks, we know it. We have confidence in doing what God wants us to do. I have confidence that I am supposed to be here. I have an assignment from God to do his work. And even if I didn't, I have the confidence that God says, don't move unless I tell you to. And so when we have that bold confidence in the Lord, to stand in the Lord, it gives us great courage. And we can grow and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. And Luke 18:1 says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, when I was working with my dad in a place called Coconut Grove, Florida was a parallel community that reflected that of Greenwich Village in New York City, which if you don't know about Greenwich Village in New York City or Coconut Grove, it was a very artsy, liberal community. And I remember in Coconut Grove working at the gas station with my dad as he was a mechanic and did other jobs in Coconut Grove and all that type of stuff. And I remember as a kid, probably about 10 years old, watching the Hare Krishna walking down the street with their hands like this and whatever on their forehead, and they were just kind of in a state of meditation and praying. That's not what God is asking us to do here. God is asking us, or telling us, imperatively, like a command in itself, he says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Have you come to a place in your walk where you say, I don't get anything out of prayer. It doesn't do me a whole bunch of good. prayer is more religious than it is practical for me. And so, why should I pray? Well, first of all, with that attitude, why should you pray? But with an attitude that says, I'm confident in God, I know God hears my prayers, I know I'm one of his children, and I know that he loves me unconditionally, that I can trust him, and I can rely on him, and I can depend upon him, then we should continue to pray and not give up. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. People have circumstances in their life that affect them physically. We're getting older. We're not who we used to be. We have health conditions that are really infringing upon our quality of living. The outside is going down. But what should be happening on the inside? It should be just as strong because of our relationship with Christ. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. How do we renew ourselves every day? Prayer. Time with God. Be in his word. A heart that's pliable before the Lord. A heart that says, I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. I'm willing to allow my life to be adjusted and molded your way. I want to be what you want me to be, and I want to pursue you. That's how we can be rejuvenated. But if we don't have the focus or desire, we're not going to be. I don't want to grow older or have more health problems, but it's going to happen. I know for me. But inside, I can be just as fresh in Jesus as it was the day that I received Christ as my Savior. That's a choice. And we can rely on God, be in his word, be in prayer, walk with Jesus, and be renewed day by day. Isn't it wonderful when you see, I know that I've, in convalescent home ministries, Christians that have been so committed to the Lord their whole life, radiating for God, and yet their bodies are not, but their faith is. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. When it says here, we do not lose heart, in the original language in the Greek, it's to fall in heart. Or here's something that's kind of a weird twist, or to be bad. Nobody likes to hear that. Do you know, basically what Scripture's saying is to lose faith and confidence in God and to allow ourselves not to be renewed in him is a bad thing, because we lose out on that richness of our relationship with Christ. And our heart, our faith, it falls. It doesn't hold up the way it should. And so therefore, make a determination to keep things right with the Lord. Second point I want to look at, first was what? The first was we should wait upon the Lord. Second is to seek the face of Jesus. I can't wait to be, well, I can wait. But if God chose to call me home today, it'd be great to see the face of Jesus. To look him eye to eye with the window. You know, you see hear that saying, the eye is the window to the soul. To see Jesus eye to eye, to know his heart being reflected by what we see in his eyes and how he receives us. What a wonderful joy that will be. But this side of heaven, to seek the face of God is to seek the character of God and who he is. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made this light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory or the praise or the adoration of God in the face of Christ. So as I seek God and I yield myself to him and I wait upon him and I pray and I walk with him in my spirit, then what's the result of that? What was I talking about the seniors in the convalescent home that radiate the character of God? You see the life of Jesus living through them, even though their bodies are going down, right? But you see Jesus in them, right? That glorifies God. Absolutely. And God has called us to be just that. In Psalm 27, 9 through 7, it says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." Boy, isn't that true? Lord, when I talk to you, answer me now. I want an answer. But I think it was presented much humbler, in a much humbler way by David here. "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face." Holy Spirit had already stirred on David's heart. Seek his face. Seek God's face. Seek his character. Know the Lord. "Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior." God's not going to reject us. God's not going to forsake us. And if we pursue him with a diligent heart, guess what? We're going to know the person of Jesus that much more, the face of God. We have an opportunity for that this side of heaven. We have an opportunity to be that light that we hear so much about, this side of heaven that will bring glory to God. I'm convinced that on heaven's side, looking back on our lives, that we're going to say, "Oh, I wish I had done more in my faith. I see it so much more clearly now, and I see the validity of it, and I see the importance of my relationship with Jesus so much clearer now, this side of heaven, than the other side." I think we're going to look back with a little bit of concern. That's my personal opinion, for how we lived our lives in a way that glorified God or didn't. Psalm 105:4 says, "Look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always." So the third thing I want to consider is this. I've said, wait on the Lord. I've said, seek his face. And I couldn't get a title for my third point. I knew all my subpoints and what I wanted to bring. So I just simply said, therefore, be. Well, we're to be faithful, prayerful, and assured. First is faithful. Hebrews 11:6. Have you heard that from up here very often? But it just resonates. For some reason, the Holy Spirit just has that resonate over and over in my heart. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Two things. Do we want to please God? We talked about that in the beginning of the message. Well, then we have to walk by faith. And if we walk by faith, guess what the end product is? Again, he says, "And he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I want to know the reward of knowing Jesus and his purpose and his power and his presence and his plans and his direction and what he created me for in him as I seek him. We won't get it any other way but to live by faith, to seek his face, and to be humble before him and be willing to be that vessel that will comply with what God wants us to do. Therefore, be prayerful. I remember years ago when we went to Guatemala in 2004, each of the kids made cookies, and they gave all of us that went on the trip cookies and a little scripture. And Lauren had wrote 1 Thessalonians 5:17 on the card. I still have it. But the second part of that, when 5:17 says, there was a section of scripture, 5:17 says, "Pray continually." Not so that everybody's aware that you're praying, but always be in communion with God. We set those special times when we're before God seeking the details of his purposes and his face, when he set aside or block that time to be with God. But through the day, always talk to him. I love the little, what do you call those things that go in your ear for the phones? Bluetooth, but we used to call them roaches, right? So yeah, I did. No, you never did, but I used to call it. But anyway, so the Bluetooth, not a roach. I know what the other roach is, and that's not what I had in my ear. But I liked it when it came out, because I used to joke. I could put one of those things in my ear and not turn it on, and I could talk to the Lord all I wanted to, and they figured I was on the phone. And that I wasn't some lunatic walking the street talking to myself. But we're to pray all the time. We're to talk to the Lord all the time, but do not close your eyes when you drive and pray. And therefore, the last part in verse in the third section is, therefore be assured. You know, all this is not in vain. It's not empty, it's not shallow, it's not impractical. It is rich, it is practical, it is glorifying to God when we wait on God, when we call upon his name, when we seek his face earnestly, when we are faithful, when we are prayerful, and the result will be that we will be assured. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. I love this. Ask and it will be given you. Oh, I just underscore that. Thank you, Lord. You know, of course, there's some criteria with a right heart and a right perspective, and your motives are right and pleasing to God, and lying with the Holy Spirit, because we know when we're praying rightly and when we are not. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. When you're in the dark, just keep praying and God will show you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. That's persistency, isn't it? For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And by evil, what's that mean? That we're of a sinful nature. We're not holy like God is holy, yet we're made holy in Christ. That's a paradox spiritually. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God, I need direction. You can be assured God will give it to you, and he won't delay, but it will be on his timetable. God, I need an answer. God, I need to know you more. God, I have this need that's bigger than me. God, I need your help in my marriage. God, whatever, put it in there. And we can be assured that God hears and answers, and we'll take care of that. So let me conclude with this. Don't give up. Don't give up what? Your faith, your prayer life, your persistency in focusing on God and seeking him out. Why? Because you will have results that glorify God. Don't give up. Prayerfully seek him and know that he won't let you down. That's a good word. I'd rather rely my whole life on leaning on the Lord and seeking him out than any other answers the world has to offer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for each one here. And I ask, Father, please, that you would simply help us to not allow ourselves to be convinced that prayer life is vain or empty, of no effect. Not allow us to be confident that our way is better than God's way and that I don't need to seek the face of God. Help us, Father, not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith, which is learned by walking with you. To be prayerful and to be assured that your word has affirmed that you hear us, that you love us, and that you will answer us and guide us, and we can trust you in all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.